Welcome to Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. We are located at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. If you don't have a home, church, we would love for you to consider making your home with us. Our service times are as follows. Sunday school at 10 a.m. and Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. Sunday night Bible study begins at 6 p.m. and Wednesday night prayer meeting starts at 6 p.m. Now it's time to enjoy a wonderful anointed message from Pastor Jimmy Haining.
Got your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter number 21. Matthew chapter 21, starting at verse 12. And Jesus went into the temple of God, and he cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and he overthrew the tables of the money chargers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he said unto them, it is written. I love that. It is written. If you ever want to confound the devil, just start off with, it is written. Hallelujah. My house shall be called the house of merchandise. Huh? I'm just making sure you're paying attention this morning. My house shall be called the house of prayer. But you, he said, you've made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. I want to preach on the thought this morning, the house of prayer. The house of prayer. And in these passages of scripture that we just read, there's two words that stand out in the Greek. And that is those two words, house and prayer. Jesus, I guess you could say, when he entered into that tabernacle, he was incensed. He was enraged. He didn't have a smile on his face, but he had righteous indignation, Brother Dennis. He was angry for God. How many has ever been angry for the Lord before? I was angry before the Lord before this week when I seen some of the things I saw on the news, because I realized, Brother Ronnie, we're living in the last days. We're living in those times Jesus spoke of where he said in the last days, Sister Robin, that it would be as though it was in the days of Noah, which as we know in the days of Noah, the world was full of what? Violence in the days of Noah. The world was filled with violence. And then Jesus said it would be likened unto the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. How many remembers what those days was like? Wickedness, evil, all kinds of perversions and abominations. So when Jesus entered into God's house, the house of prayer, what did he find them doing? He found them cheating the people. He found two explicit things that should have never been there. Number one, the buying and the selling of merchandise in the house of God. That incensed him. But what really got him, I think, the most was when he seen that they were putting weights under the scales, and when the people were coming in to barter so that they could buy and trade to have something to sacrifice for their sins, they were cheating them. And he says, my house, it is written, shall be called the house of what? Prayer. And I want us to look at that. What does that really mean? As always in the Greek, I like to go to the boss. And in the Greek, the word house is translated oikos, means one word, tabernacle. It doesn't mean marketplace. It doesn't mean a lake somewhere. It doesn't mean an amusement park. It means tabernacle. And the second word that goes with it, the word prayer, is translated in the Greek tephela, and it means three things: intercession as concerning prayer, supplication as concerning prayer, and of all things, hymns concerning prayer. I'm reminded of that first definition, intercession. If you remember in the book of Daniel, Daniel was making intercessory prayer on behalf of his people Israel. They had just not too long before that gotten taken captive by the Babylonian Empire. And Daniel, along with Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, better known to you as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, found themselves in the crossfire along with other young men and women of God who were choice men and women of God. It wasn't just Daniel and the three Hebrew children, although the Bible doesn't name the rest of them. There were more than just those four who would not pollute themselves with things. But Daniel began to make intercessory prayer on behalf of his people Israel because of their sins, because of what they've done. How many times do we, when we pray, begin to intercede on the behalf of people, whether those people be our own family members, Or maybe they might be some distant type of family, like some second or third cousin or an aunt or an uncle, whatever the case might be, or in some cases, a close friend. And then, of course, in many cases, our fellow brothers and sisters in the house of God, we begin to intercede because, as we did this morning, Sister Robin, we begin to make our needs known before God, called them out by name. And as the word of God says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but he gave us a promise. He says, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all, whether that's in this lifetime or the lifetime to come. He said he delivers them out of them all. So there's intercessory prayer where we intercede on behalf of our loved ones. But he also, Daniel also interceded on behalf of a place. He was interceding on behalf of the nation of Israel, and he was also interceding on behalf of the great nation Babylon. Daniel was so in tune with God that he was able to see certain things concerning that kingdom through the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. He was able to see, Sister Wanda, the potential that that wicked king had. And as we read on in the book of Daniel, we see how by the end of that book, how God had changed the heart of King Nebuchadnezzar, and he became a believer. And I believe it was because of Daniel's witness, Brother Mark, and his continual three times a day prayer, interceding on behalf of people, on behalf of places, and even on behalf of things. Remember, the Bible says Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. So when we pray intercessory prayer, it's important that we pray that, as I like to say a lot, the noun. We need to pray about the person, the people. We need to intercede on behalf of the places, and we need to intercede on behalf of the things. What do you mean by that, Brother Jim? Well, things can be a lot of things. Not too long ago, I shared with you about those pit bulls next door, and I had a lot of intercessory time and prayer, praying not over just my family, but also over the members of the family that own those pit bulls. You know, some people shouldn't have dogs. Let's put it that way. But I was praying for them because they had a little boy. And all I could think of was that little poor little kid getting attacked by one of them hellhounds, as I call them. There's been times, Brother Mark, I've interceded in prayer on behalf of our vehicles. Here lately, my wife will tell you, we have had absolutely no good fortune when it comes to tires. we got brand new tires on the car, on both cars. And wouldn't you know it, Brother Dennis, I know at least four times we've had to go and get them plugged because we ran over a nail or because it's leaking around the rim or whatever the case. Brand new tires. So there's things that we can intercede for. People don't realize this. They take prayer, Brother Eddie, so lightly. They don't understand the depth of prayer. But that was the first one of prayer. The second one, supplication, in the original language, simply means entreating God humbly for his favor, his divine favor, and his amazing grace. As the word of God says, his mercies endure forever. They're renewed every day for us. He's long-suffering towards us. So when we make supplication, we're bringing our needs before the Lord in a humble way, and we're asking for God's favor. How many times have we prayed for our lost loved ones? And we've interceded before God and begged God, I have at least, begged God to open their eyes, to send them a kingdom connection, as Brother Perry Stone would say. Send them a kingdom connection, Brother Mark. They may not listen to me, and that's Bible, because Jesus said a prophet is not without honor, except for one thing, when he's in his own country and when he's amongst his own family members. So I say, God, send them a kingdom connection. Sister Maximilia, someone in your family may not want to listen to you, but you can pray a prayer of supplication and say, God, send my children, send my aunt, send my uncle, send my cousin, send my family member, whoever they may be, send them a kingdom connection. Because somebody out there knows how to connect. I've had people come and tell me, I don't think there's any preacher in the world like you. And I hate it every time they say it, because there's preachers that can preach me under the table and around a million times over. But I get what they're saying, Brother Mike. There's a kindred spirit there. There's a connection there. I've listened to ministers. God bless their heart. They're anointed of God. They're called of God. But Brother Ronnie, they just don't do anything for me. It's like listening to a lecture from a professor. But I've listened to others, and they're right up my alley. How many remembers? R.W. Shambach. He used to light my fire. Some that you may not know of, one of my all-time spiritual heroes, Brother Joey Height. He was the one God used to stoke that flame, Sister Jenny and me, that let me know I was called to preach. And I would sit spellbound. I could listen, Brother Francis, to that man preach all day long. Kind of like Brother Eddie back there when I say, I'm getting ready to close. He'll say, no, keep going. That's the way I felt. Don't stop. Keep going. Keep going. What they don't realize, Brother Jason, is us little short, fat fellas, after a while, we get winded, you know, and we need a break. But anyway, God gives us great men. God gives us great women. But not everybody do we have a connection with. And so when we begin to make those prayers of supplication on behalf of those that we care about so deeply, and we know they're not listening to what we got to say, Brother Eddie, then we need to pray, Father, send them a kingdom connection. Send them someone that's right up their alley. I used to think I was the dad of the decade. I found out real quick I'm not. There's other people that connect with my daughters a lot better than I do. See, that's where pride comes in, and we think we're all that and a slice of cheese. Well, maybe the slice of cheese is moldy old cheese, you know. We need to pray, God, send them a kingdom connection. Send them somebody that they can relate to, that they can get through. Maybe their hair's not parted on the same side mine is. Maybe they don't wear the same garb I wear, but they know how to talk the talk, Brother Eddie, to get through and touch their heart. So we pray intercessory prayer. We pray prayers of supplication. But I like this third one. We pray with the hymns. How many's ever heard somebody pray in the Spirit and sing in the Spirit? I can remember my mom so many times I lost count, Brother Dennis. I walk in the house and I hear a melody, but I'm outside, I couldn't make out what it was. I'm thinking somebody's in there singing. Well, they was, but they weren't singing in English. They were singing in that heavenly language. And I'll tell you something, I have never heard anything quite as beautiful as when I hear someone fluidly. There's a difference. There's people who need to pray on through to the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and they pray with a broken language because they hold back. They're shy or whatever. They're afraid what somebody's going to think about them. But then there are those who just, Sister Wanda, they completely yield themselves over to the Lord. Like Sister Robin found out not too long ago down here. And then they begin to pray fluidly in the Spirit. But there's nothing quite like hearing someone sing fluidly in the Spirit. I've only had that happen to me twice in my life. One time I remember I was praying and singing in the Spirit. And after about the second stanza, Sister Maximilia, I recognized the tune. And I can't tell you what the tune was because it's been so long ago, but it was a hymnal. It was out of our hymn book. And I began to just weep as I was singing in the Spirit. And then there was another time that I didn't recognize it. No matter what, I racked my brain, Brother Eddie, and I could not think of a song that I'd ever heard like that. And so I come to the conclusion, that must be one of the praise songs, oh, glory to God, that they're singing around God's golden altar. Those that are resting right now from their labors, Brother Ronnie, that must be one of the songs they're singing in adoration to Almighty God. So prayer is a powerful, powerful thing. And Jesus said, you've made my house a den of thieves, but it's written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And it grieves me, Brother Ronnie, because the Bible says, and well, let me just read it to you. If you want to turn with me to Psalms chapter 100, I could quote it, but I'd just rather read the whole thing. Because it's a good psalm. If you ain't got it marked in your Bible, you should, and you ought to try to memorize it because it's only 5 verses. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, and come before his presence with what? Singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God, and it is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. So much for those who say, oh, I wasn't born a man, or I wasn't born a woman. Amen. Praise God. Know ye not that it was he that made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And here's the key verse. Enter into his gates. That's on the outside of the tabernacle. With thanksgiving. And into his courts. That's inside the tabernacle. With praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth unto all generations. And what I started to say was this. It breaks my heart. And Sister Wanda, God bless your heart. You already touched on it. And yes, you were preaching part of my message and thank you for that. But listen, it breaks my heart when now we are basically down to one service a week. But it breaks my heart when we come into Sunday morning service, and rather than praising God in the fashion that he's accustomed to being praised, I mean, he deserves to be praised, so many just sit and stare like zombies. You can tell they've got much on their mind. You can tell they've let this world and the things in this world and the people in this world capture their attention and steal away their attention, Brother Mark, from the reason why we come together. God, it was never God's will for people to come into his tabernacle with preconceived notions and ulterior motives. We come, according to the scriptures we've already read, for three basic reasons. We come into his tabernacle to pray, whether that's through intercessory prayer, supplications, or praying in the hymns and in the Holy Spirit. We come into his tabernacle to worship and to praise and laud his name. And then the icing on the cake, we come into his house to hear his holy word, whether it's taught, whether it's preached, whether it's exhorted, whether it's played on the keyboard or the drums, or whether it's sung by someone singing melodically unto God. These are the reasons we come into the house of God. And if you're coming for any other reason than that, then you're here for the wrong reason. Because he said, my house. Jesus said, my house. You heard us sing in the first song, come into this house, magnify the Lord, lift up holy hands, our hearts in what? One accord, for he is worthy. See, we can't be in one accord, Brother Eddie, if we're thinking about our wife's bad meal she cooked last night. We cannot be in one accord, Brother Dennis. I'll just stop right there. I'm going to get in trouble if I go on. But we cannot be in one accord if we come into the house of God, Brother Ronnie, and we've got all these other things on our mind. I'm not here this morning, and God bless your heart if you're thinking it. You got lucky today, because I said, Lord, I've preached so many hard messages, and I feel God has changed my season. And now, from this day forward, what you're going to hear from Brother Dennis. Brother Dennis, I preached so many hard messages. It would save the world a million times over. From the first church we pastored to this one. But here's how I look at it now. God has given me a new season. And then in this new season, you're going to hear Jimmy preaching Jesus. Now, I've preached Jesus. I've preached Jesus. I've preached Jesus all my life. But you're going to get sick of hearing me preach Jesus, because I'm going to give you Jesus, 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 Jesus. Because, and let me tell you something, right here inside these four walls is not the ministry. I just told you what in here's for. Even in the early church, the majority of the people that gave their heart to God, Sister Wanda, it was not in the tabernacle. It was out on the streets. And it breaks my heart, because one notorious king looked the Apostle Paul in the eye by the name of Agrippa, and he said, almost, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I don't want to hear almost. I want to know that the word of God is flowing through me and touching their heart. And they're ready to make that choice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The ministry is outside these walls. But when we come together, the Bible says, we just read it, enter his gates with thanksgiving. What does that mean? That means, I'll give you the Greek definitions in a minute. But what that means is, Brother Mike, when we pull into this parking lot, we should already be thanking God. Lord, I'm near your presence. Oh, God. I've got freedom, Lord, to be here. I don't got to look over my shoulder like they do in China and see if Big Brother's watching me. If things keep going the way they are, America's going to be the same way. Wake up. We enter his gates with a thankful heart. But then it says, then we enter his courts inside the tabernacle. With what? 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 Let's look up those words. In the Hebrew, there in Psalms, the word thanksgiving is translated todah. It is also pronounced tauda. Some time ago, I preached on the seven principles of worship. It's been some time ago. But these were the two big guns that I covered. The Tauda and the Tahila. The Tauda and the Tahila. And if you don't remember anything this morning, remember those two Hebrew words. The Tauda, think of a towel. And Tahila, like the, I don't hate to say it, but the, you know, the drink, okay? Think of it that way. The Tauda and the Tahila, okay? So the word thanksgiving in the Hebrew, Tauda, means adoration. We did that this morning, didn't we? It also means, believe it or not, confession. What does that mean, Brother Jimmy? I'm so glad you asked. It means that if we confess our sin, he made us a promise, Brother Blake, that he would forgive us of our sins. And then he would go a step further. He said, and I will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Now, I remember reading in the Gospels, Jesus, it is recorded there, and Jesus said there was one day where they were out preaching, and 10 lepers came to him. Remember that? And Jesus healed every one of them. He healed them. Their leprosy stopped dead in its tracks. But the Bible said only one came back to give him what? What's the word? No, not praise. What were we just talking about here? Thanks. See how important it is to give thanks? One came back to give him thanks. And what did he do? See, to re-quote that verse, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And number two, what did he say we do? What's the word? Cleanse, 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 cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when that one leper came back to give him thanks, Brother Ronnie, guess what Jesus did? He already healed him. He already stopped the leprosy dead in his tracks. But he did something that people today can't do and don't have the power to do. He cleansed that leopard, and he had the skin of a child. Now, if that don't mean anything to you, when you leave here, get on Google and look up pics of leprosy, and it'll give you a whole new understanding of what I'm saying. We were in a study not too long ago here, and if you remember, I passed out pictures of people. Do you remember that, Brother Mike? And pictures of people who had leprosy. It was grotesque. Jesus cleansed that one leopard for one reason, because of one word. What is it? Thanks. That's why, and I'm going to get to this one in a minute. Well, I guess I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's why sometimes when we take up the offering, we sing the song, thanks, thanks, I give you thanks for all you've done. I am so blessed. My soul has found rest. Oh, Lord, I give you thanks. It's important that we give God thanks. And then we give God thanks in our worship. And we give God thanks in our praise. And here's the one I was just talking about. And hold on to your wallets, people. We give God thanks through our offering. God can't stand a stingy person. We used to go out to Frisch's with this one family. And it was, I'm not going to tell you who it is because you'll figure this story out if I tell you who it was. But this one family, the husband really liked Frisch's. That's the only place he wanted to go. Put me in mind of one of my old friends, James McCoy. Every time we go out to eat, he had to have chicken. Chicken, chicken, chicken. It was so much chicken, I felt like I'm got tired of chicken. But I remember Pastor Dillon. How many members Pastor Dillon? The first pastor of this church. He was telling me, he said, Brother Jimmy, he mentioned this guy. He said, I'm going to tell you something. You got to watch him. He said, because when you get ready to leave the table, somebody's got to leave a tip. And he said, and he'll watch everybody to see if somebody's going to leave the tip. He said, so I got ornery one time and went out to eat. And he said, and I waited and I waited and I waited. And finally, he said, he finally broke down and he dug into his wallet and he laid a tip out on the table. And he said, so we got up. He said, I got up out of my seat. He got up out of his. Act went on like we were leaving. He said, I let him go first. And when he did, I pulled a tip out of my wallet and I laid down a tip. And it about killed him because he wanted to go back and grab that tip that he laid. See, some people are stingy like that. But the Bible says we're to give God thanks even when we give in our offering. You know, we talk a lot in the church. I don't, but a lot of pastors do talk a lot about tithe. Tithe, tithe, tithe. There's some churches that, and I hope I'm not going too long this morning. I'm just trying to mind the Lord. But there are some pastors that will have their secretary, Sister Wanda, send out letters to people saying, hey, you missed your tithes this month. If you don't believe me, ask my wife. She went to an interview for a job. And that was one of the things that they told her she would have to do. I think that was one of the things that turned her off about it. I'm not going to call somebody. That's God's business. But my point is this. We hear people talking about tithes, 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 and that's what you owe God, right? But what about what you're going to give God? What are we going to give God? See, the blessing don't come from the tithes. That's your reasonable service. That's what you're required to do. Although some people try to tell you that nowadays, well, you don't have to be 10%. Well, that's what the Bible says. Who are you going to believe, God or what everybody else has got to say? But that's the reasonable service. What about when it comes time to be thankful? When Abel gave, he gave of the first fruits. He gave the best he had to God. But there are people, Brother Dennis, they get their paycheck. Oh, they're going to take care of rent. They're going to take care of car payment. They're going to take care of groceries. They're going to take care of all the, but they're going to rob God, and then they're going to expect God to bless them. Right. Oh, Brother Jimmy, there you go to meddling. Well, I've got Bible for this meddling. Thank you very much. How can we expect God to bless us when we're stingy? I didn't mean to preach on tithes this morning. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to tell you about being thankful. I'm telling you how much of a blessing there is, Brother Marcus, when we're thankful to God and we're not stingy with God, not only with our offerings of money, but with our offerings of time. 24 hours. What's 10% of 24 hours? 2 hours and 40 minutes, right? How many people do we know of? How many Christians do we know of that actually give God that much time every day? Got quiet on that one, didn't it? That's what being thankful is about. And finally, in closing, we go to praise. The Tehillah. The Tehillah. And it means three things in the original Hebrew there. And we've already mentioned this a couple times, that it means laudation. When you laud someone, when we laud the name of God, Sister Wanda, we can't praise him with big enough words. There's not a word in our vocabulary that's big enough to adequately laud his name. But that's what praise does. When we come together, Brother Eddie, we should be lauding the name of our God with every big word in our vocabulary that talks about how great our God is, how majestic our God is, how good our God is, how powerful our God is, how loving our God is, how patient our God. Oh, I could just go on and on and on. But when we begin to do that, you enter into another realm of prayer. And you forget, as the old secular song used to say, forget your troubles, come on, get happy. All right, that's how that works. Second definition, songs. We've done that this morning. And the scripture says, praise him with the songs, with the hymns, with the spiritual songs. And nowadays, contemporary songs. It's a new thing, but man, some of these contemporary songs will light your fire. Some of them, it makes you want to rip the page out and burn it because it just says the same thing over and over and don't have any meaning. But a lot of them are powerful, like the one Sister Lizzie sang this morning, I Choose to Worship. What a powerful, powerful song that is. Or the Ron Canole song, Ancient of Days. Praise God. We got churches today, Brother Ronnie, that have already removed the hymnals, and it's the very one that the Word of God names both in our language in the King James Version and in the original Boss language of the Greek and Hebrew. The hymns, the hymns, the hymns. Why? Because there's some powerful stuff in them hymns. Why is it? Because people that write hymns speak from right here. When Deborah won the victory, she wrote a song about it. When Moses got the victory, he wrote a song about it. Hallelujah. When Jimmy got the victory, Brother Jimmy wrote many songs about it. There's a difference between a hymn and something that somebody just throws together. In closing, this morning I'm talking about the house of prayer. The house of prayer.
We hope you've been blessed by today's message by Pastor Jimmy Haining and Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. Pastor Jimmy and the congregation would like to invite you to visit with them in service at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. We will see you again right here next week.
Changed me. That old man I used to be is gone.
change.